Welcome. I'm so excited that you guys are here. If you are new to Valley Church, we just want you to know we're so excited that you're with us tonight. If you're looking for a home church, we would love to have you. We are a fairly new church plant, which is exciting. And also, it's just not like a super like well-established old church. And that has positives and negatives. But we would love to invite you along on the journey and would love to have you. We are ending tonight a series on the Sabbath. This will be part three. If you missed any of the first 2 weeks, you can check our podcast and find those. But this is a series about the spiritual practice called Sabbath. And just kind of a short recap from the last 2 weeks to catch you up if you missed. Sabbath is a 24-hour period where we stop, or we cease from our work, we rest, and we delight in God and in the world and the life that he has given us. And this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of our book. So we're going to throw it up on the screen. You don't have to turn there in your Bibles if you don't want to. Genesis 1, 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So here at the very, very beginning of our like origin story, we find God turned the seventh day into something totally different. He set it apart by resting or Sabbathing. And then this concept is officially encoded into Israel's DNA in Exodus chapter 20. Which would be the Ten Commandments. They're kind of a big deal. And we're going to read that passage, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So here we see God instructing his people to keep the Sabbath because he himself kept the Sabbath from the very beginning. And then this law is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So flip over there if you want to. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day. This is Moses' kind of farewell speech to Israel before they kind of enter into the promised land that God was leading them to. And the command is repeated. Verse 12, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So in this explanation of this law in Deuteronomy, Israel was to keep the Sabbath because they needed to be reminded and to remember that they have been delivered from Egypt and out from under Pharaoh. They have been saved from brutal, harsh, day-in and day-out slavery. What Pharaoh did to the Israelites in working them ruthlessly wasn't just like a little bit rude or harsh or dangerous. It was those things. But it went against the very fabric of the universe that God created, which is that mankind works 6 days and rests one. That is part of the rhythm God intended. It's part of the rhythm that he enacted doing by himself. Over time, God's people began to, they kept the Sabbath, but also missed the point of the Sabbath. So they would honor the day and they would abstain from working, but sometimes they did so with hearts that drifted from God. And they drifted from the rest that God intended in the Sabbath. So fast forwarding quite a bit, Jesus in Mark chapter 2 tells us that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God's people had, like I said, over time, begun to reverse that and to think that they were made to follow the laws of God, rather than the Sabbath being a law that was intended to be a grace and a gift to God's people to rest. And so that's the point of this passage, and I think what we need to remember about the Sabbath today is that God gave us the Sabbath as a gift. It's not a binding law on Christians today like it was for Israel. You're not sinning if you don't take a full 24 hours or if you check your work email or fold some laundry. The Sabbath is a gift to you and for you, and it's not just permission to stop working. It's an invitation to rest and delight in God and in the world and the life that he has given us. So that's a quick recap of what we've done over the last couple weeks. And tonight, really the teaching is just about making it practical. We just want to tell you, that's why my wife is up here with me, because we want to tell you how Sabbath has looked in our life, some of the things that we've kind of each learned because we are different, and so Sabbath will kind of bring certain things out of each of us depending on our personality. And so we just kind of want to show you how it looks in our life and how it might in yours. And so we organized this into 5 sections, one about what it looks like to stop, what it means to rest, what it means to delight, and then some thoughts on the phrase, keep it holy. And then a 5th category that is just called miscellaneous, because there's some things that we want to say that don't fit into those categories. So there we go. Kristen.
Yeah, so if you were here last week, Michael kind of just briefly recapped kind of how we started our journey with practicing Sabbath, but I'll just expand on that a little bit. If you rewind to 2016, we'd been married about 4 years. We had one baby, Nora. She wasn't quite 1 year old yet. We were in student ministries. Our life was full and busy. And for me, home used to be like my resting place. And now suddenly becoming a parent, it was like when I went to work, I was working. When I got home, I was working. And we just couldn't quite figure out a new rhythm of rest as a family. And I remember looking at our calendar and just getting really panicky when there wouldn't be any margin on it. It felt like there was just so much in our life. It was kind of jam-packed. And if we couldn't find time to take a vacation, I just thought, like, we have no control over our life. And I would look to those getaways or whatever to provide the rest that I thought I was craving. And then we began to study the idea of Sabbath. We started going through a book with our community group called Garden City, which we've referenced before. And we were kind of reintroduced to what the idea of Sabbath could look like today. And we were super intrigued by it and honestly pretty convicted. And so starting in January 2017, we thought, let's give it the old college Sabbath try. And so Nora was one, and that is when we started Sabbath. I do not recommend starting in the winter if you have children. It is the hardest season to like try to rest because you're just kind of cooped up and it's nasty outside. But
we timed this series in the spring so that it's just
so that you can start your Sabbath practice in the lovely weather and extra daylight. I just honestly did not like Sabbath very much at first. Just my personality doesn't lend itself, or so I thought, to the practice of just stopping for a day. And so we started this, and all of a sudden we have this Saturday. And I'm like, okay, cool, Sabbath. So I'm not allowed to do any chores. I can't like get anything done. I can't be productive. Also, I still have to take care of my kid. Joke's on me, yay, Sabbath. And it was just so frustrating at first. All of me just kind of bristled against it, and I didn't enjoy it, frankly. And it took us a while and has taken us a while. It's now 2020, so we're 3 years into figuring this out. And so I think in all of that, the reason that we want to share kind of our practical journey with you is not to paint some idealistic, dreamy picture of a theoretical Sabbath, but to let you in on kind of our wrestlings through this practice and the good, the bad, and the ugly, and how honestly the Lord has used all of it in the past 3 years to really help open our eyes to the gift that Sabbath is for us, and hopefully encourage you to consider doing the same.
So step one is to stop or cease. And this is where we put down our work. The image that came to my mind is if you remembered ever taking like a timed test in school and you're coming to the end of the time and the teacher says, all right, pencils down. done or not, that like that's what you got to do. You put your pencils down, it's time. And that's kind of the concept here. We put down our work, whether it's done or not, we cease and we stop. And that's not just the job that you do that you get a paycheck for, but all the other things in your life, the chores and the to-do lists. It's stopping the desire and the need to be productive, to produce and to get things done. That's the mindset that we want to step out of and step into rest. And so we put down our work, even if everything isn't done. And one really important distinction to make is that there is a difference between a Sabbath and a day off. So if you are like me, days off can quickly become like a day off from what you do to earn money, but then a day on for like everything else that you have to do in your life, chores and yard work, which I hate more than anything in the world, and all sorts of other things that we have to do to just kind of make our life work. And that's what we do when we're not doing the thing we do to earn money. We do the other things that we don't get paid for, but we still have to do. Eugene Peterson was a pastor, and he called that kind of day, so a day off that you're calling Sabbath, he called it, a bastard Sabbath. It's an illegitimate Sabbath, calling a day off a Sabbath. The Sabbath is when we put those things, all those things aside, and we decide today is about resting and delighting in the Lord. And it's not just stopping our work, it's also learning to stop the mental striving, the mental kind of spinning of all the to-do lists that you have, to stop planning for what you need to do tomorrow or next week. It's a time for us to kind of disconnect from our constant connectivity through our phones or our computers, social media. It's a time to put away kind of that, the rat race or hamster wheels, what I was thinking of. To put it all away and to stop. And this will come a little more naturally to some of us. It might be a little bit more difficult for some of you. I really enjoy the stopping part. I think it's because I'm just a little bit lazy. And so I'm just like, yeah, all right, I can stop, no big deal. But for some people, it's really difficult to like put down the what is just like hardwired into you, which is just to go and to get things done. And so this will be a really stretching and challenging spiritual practice for you.
Yeah, the some people are my people. So
somebody has a hard time slowing down.
Some people really struggle with Sabbath. No, but if you're anything like me, I tend a little bit more towards like legalism. I really want to get things right. I like order. And so it's very easy for me, and especially in the beginning of our Sabbath journey, to get very caught up in like, what can I do? What can't I do? And I almost would rather prefer that somebody just tell me, like, here's five key things to implement to have an awesome Sabbath every single week. And I would do it because I like want it to work. I want to be good at it. And unfortunately, that's not the heart of the Sabbath, which God gave us on purpose. It's not supposed to be this like burdensome, weighty thing. It's supposed to help us come back to life in Him. And so if that's you, I guess I just want to say I get it and I can relate. And man, even if there was a formula, which there's not, if you have children in your home, they will interrupt that so fast. If you had been with us on our Sabbath day yesterday, we typically do Saturdays as a family. I think at one point I told Michael, our kids are failing Sabbath. It was just like a really rough morning, like all of the things that we do with our kids, like break up sibling arguments and do discipline and all the things, they don't go away on the Sabbath. Like it was still, that was all still in play. But we're learning as a family what it looks like to continue and to rest and to choose to still just put down everything regardless. I think for me, it's a day where I try to focus on enjoying my kids. It's really easy the other days to feel like maybe they're interrupting me from getting the other things done that I think I need to do, whatever that looks like. So I guess I just want to say Sabbath is not a personality type. Maybe for some of you that's been like your biggest hesitation when you hear the idea of stopping everything for a day. Maybe you naturally just think, I don't do that. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I always need to be doing something. I don't want to sit still. But even some people like us aren't exempt. And I think if you find yourself in that category like I do, I think it's healthy to consider maybe why we call these practices spiritual disciplines. I don't think that they often come naturally. I don't think that the Sabbath, especially as you begin, I don't think it will feel natural or easy. Think about the ancient Israelites when the Lord asked them to take a day off. They were literally like working the ground for their actual food. Like their livelihood, their survival depended on how much they sowed seed and watered and harvested and tended to their crops. And so to be asked to take a day to stop that would have been a really, really big deal and a really big exercise in trust. And I think if they can do it, we can do it. It's not that they never kicked and screamed about it. They did. They were Israel. And they're a lot like us. So a couple other things to be aware of before we move on to the resting part. One thing I've noticed is that when we stop, it creates space to be aware of what has a pull on our hearts all other 6 days. So when you stop your work or stop your chores or stop your to-do list or turn off your phone or put it away or choose not to get on social media, I think you begin to quickly realize, at least I do, where you default on all the other days. Kind of what typically has your attention, your affections, the love of your heart, what's important to you. And so when you just press pause on all of it and you find yourself just kind of sitting, not grabbing for your phone, not jumping up to fold laundry or organize a closet or something, it can feel a little strange, but it's a good heart check. I think it quickly brings to the surface those things that maybe are disordered in our hearts. Stopping for a day also often creates space to be aware of just some of the feelings that maybe we don't want to feel. Maybe keeping busy is like your ideal distraction from loneliness. Or maybe you feel like you can kind of outrun your anxiety or the ways in which you just feel like mentally out of control by doing all the things that you can control. All the things that you can kind of keep straight and keep ordered and get done. And so when we stop, sometimes it honestly doesn't feel very good. And I know for me in seasons where I have been in kind of a dark place in my soul or feeling really anxious or depressed or whatever, I have not enjoyed the Sabbath as much because I would rather just, like, keep going. And lastly, I think when we stop, the good news is this space provides room for gratitude. Again, for me, that has been one of the things I've noticed the most lately, because my natural tendency is to always be thinking about what I can do, what I can improve, what I can change, fix, make better, get done. To stop is the day that I just say, enough. My life is good. The Lord is the one providing for us. And it even just like allows me to look around my own home with fresh eyes. I found myself sitting on my couch at like 5 a.m. the other morning after being up and feeding the baby and getting ready to go back to bed. And I just kind of sat there. We were headed into Sabbath and I just took a minute to be grateful and just thought, thank you, Lord, for my house. We have a warm house. We have all the clothes we need. We have blankets. We have running water that comes out of our faucet and our shower and our bathtub and our laundry machine. We can give our kids multiple baths. We can wash our clothes. We can get a drink without even thinking twice. And it just shifted my whole perspective to one of gratitude.
And then our kids woke up.
I was still thankful for them, but I did go in while they were sleeping the other night and feels particularly thankful.
You guys hear that sound, by the way? It's happened a couple times.
Stop, turn that off.
Okay, I will. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Part two is rest. Now, whether or not you are like ultra-driven type A and it's hard for you to stop, learning to rest is also pretty difficult. And it sounds like a really easy thing, and maybe you just think about it as sleeping, which you should sleep on the Sabbath if you can. That's a great idea. But there is a journey of learning what recharges you as a human. God wired us differently, and different things will help us rest and recharge and refuel. And so I hope that you would consider this an exciting journey to like learn how God wired you, to learn what helps you rest and recharge. Sometimes, again, this looks like actual naps, like taking naps on the Sabbath. It was not this last Saturday, but the one before that. We had a total, like everyone in the house was sleeping. All of our kids were napping all at the same time, and it was glorious. And that happens sometimes. This could look like going to bed really early on your Sabbath and just enjoying a really good night's sleep. If your life schedule is such that it's hard for you to get enough sleep because you have to stay up late or you have to get up super early, sleep extra on the Sabbath if you can. I feel like for a lot of people, getting outside, taking walks, hikes, or running, those are really good things to kind of help recharge and rest on the Sabbath. I was thinking about my father-in-law, who is an outdoorsman, and he loves to hike. And, well, you should just tell the story because you were going to tell it, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, my parents were telling me about their Sabbath last weekend. And yeah, if you've ever hiked with my dad, it's not typically like just a casual stroll. There's like some purpose to it. So that's kind of how I was raised. And like he's wants to get there and see things. And he told me that he went hiking as a part of his Sabbath and he felt himself starting to walk fast like he does. And he like made himself slow down and just slow his pace, look around, notice the trees. My mom even said that she, one thing she did that she enjoyed on her Sabbath was to cook a really nice breakfast for her and my dad. And some might consider that work, but to her, it was just a mindset shift of, I'm not just trying to get food on the table. I'm going to take the time. We're going to enjoy this meal. So sometimes resting on the Sabbath might look like you do things that are not abnormal to you, like going for a walk or a hike or cooking a meal, but you do it with a different spirit. And unhurried and slow. And I think that's where part of the real gift is.
Well said. Sometimes for us, and when I say sometimes, I mean most of the time, one of the best ways that we rest on the Sabbath is to send our kids in the backyard so that we can just like sit together in our house and drink coffee. And sometimes we may lock the door to
or
the back.
Set
we
a timer
can still we can
and
see
be like,
we
can
see
come
them.
Inside?
It's fine.
We're cold. We're like,
yeah.
Go outside. Here's
they're
some
like
gloves.
Shivering. Yeah, I guess you can come inside.
They're fine. They're literally fine.
Yeah.
It's better for them, in fact, that they stay outside.
Sometimes we go to Kristen's parents for dinner, just kind of have a change of scenery and break up the day. I love going to my parents. They have a big farm property up in Vancouver, Washington, and I love being there. Usually we try to do something outside on the Sabbath, which is what we referenced in the beginning. Winter with small children is a hard time to Sabbath. Maybe, though, for you, like, winter Sabbath will just be, like, the best thing, and you just love the idea of, like, reading a book, starting a fire or something, and having some tea. It will be different for each of us. There is a list, so practicingtheway.org is this kind of product of a couple churches in the Portland area, and they've compiled a list of spiritual disciplines and kind of a guide on how to practice them. That's what our community kind of curriculum is. That's what our groups are working through. There's a list on their website. If you find the Sabbath page, there's a list of things that you could try to do on the Sabbath. One note on this is that in your process of learning what actually helps you rest and recharge, I want to kind of point out a difference. I think there is such a thing as cheap rest or versus real rest. And you need to be a student of yourself to know what actually recharges you and helps your soul kind of recover. This, for me, I can tend to want to numb out and to use the Sabbath as an excuse to like sit on my butt and watch TV or eat snacks or something. And that actually does not help me rest, even though I enjoy it and it's fun to sit down and do nothing. But it actually kind of numbs me out and it doesn't help me move on to that next phase of delighting in God. It actually just kind of numbs and I end up not really going good places in my mind and in my heart. So I would call that cheap rest. It might not be that for you. That might be a great way for you to rest. But you need to be a student of yourself to learn, like, is this rest like me escaping and numbing out, or is this actually helping me recharge, refuel, and move towards praising God?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
I heard a baby and I was like, it's not my baby. Okay, one way maybe that will help you think about this as far as the type of rest lending itself to delight or not, think about like eating a meal. There's lots of different ways that we enjoy meals. For me, there's a real big distinction between being in the McDonald's drive-thru with my kids and like being on a date with my husband at a nice dinner. If I'm in the McDonald's drive-thru, I'm eating, like I'm getting filled up, but usually I'm eating kind of fast. I'm like passing French fries to the back of the van, which if I've ever said anything that makes me sound more like a mom, I don't know what it is. You know, and then I'm trying to finish up because when we get home, we're going to do naps and all the things. But when I'm out to dinner with Michael and there's no kids, it's totally different. We're like ordering food. We have maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours. We're just talking. We're not interrupted. Both times I'm eating food. I'm being filled with what I need, or in the case of McDonald's, what I don't need, but I'm eating. But one experience takes me to a place of delight and rest, and the other is just like, get it done. And so I think that's a good kind of way to frame it in your mind, is what type of rest, like Michael said, brings you to that next stage of delight. And I would say that kind of this category is the area where we're really trying to grow as a family. Like we said, we've kind of been on this journey for like 3 years. It's been super imperfect. And we have kind of, we stop our work and all the things and we rest, but I feel like we've got to figure out how to delight in and just experience worshiping the Lord. There's a quote I really like by a guy named John Piper, and he says this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God wants us to be satisfied in himself. I really believe that's part of why he created so many good things for us to enjoy. I kind of like to think of Sabbath as like a vacation day or a holiday once a week. I like the anticipation, and we really, really do truly look forward to it now. Not every Sabbath is like magical. I will say most aren't. There are those moments that are just so good and rich, but we really look forward to that day. And if you begin Sabbath and you don't feel that anticipation and excitement because you feel like, ah, this is hard, I don't really want to do it, or it wasn't that fun, don't panic. It takes time to settle into that place. And what brings us joy and delight on our Sabbath will really vary from person to person. Maybe for you, you just want to be alone. Like you have a busy job or a lot of people around you all the time, and you're like, I just want to be alone with the Lord. That sounds amazing. Others, maybe you spend a lot of time alone. And so what sounds so delightful to you is to like have some friends over and cook them a meal. To others, that would feel like work, but to you, that might feel like, that is going to be so good for my soul to have some close friends over and sit around the table, and I want to cook them a good meal tonight. So whatever that is for you, this whole thing of delighting is more than just asking what would make me happy, but it's also not less than that. I think maybe there was like a time period in evangelical Christianity where maybe we got this idea that God didn't care about our happiness, you know, and we're always like, it's different than joy, and God wants your joy, but not your happiness. But I think, why would God create so many enjoyable things if he didn't want us to experience, like, pleasure and goodness and, dare I say, happiness? it's bigger and more than, like, a greedy pursuit or something hedonistic and selfish, but it's more asking, just how can I enjoy the good gifts that God's given me on this day?
One of the moments that I kind of most readily think about when I think about rest turning into delight and worship is there's this house that Kristen and I regularly vacation in when we go to Central Oregon. We go to this place all the time, and there's a hot tub there, and it's usually very clear in Central Oregon. So this hot tub, looking up at the stars at night, is just one of the most restful and relaxing places that I know, and I almost always just encounter God's presence right there in that place. There's something spiritual about hot tubs. I don't know what it is. It's wonderful. You should all get one. But what I'm thinking about is that I sit in there and it's very relaxing. It feels nice. It's a hot tub. But it turns into something more than just, I really enjoy the way this warm water feels, but I begin to start worshiping. Like I'm looking up at these stars and I'm seeing how massive our universe is and feeling very small, but at the same time, very loved and known by God. And it's just like too much to comprehend. And that is me turning a restful activity into delighting in the Lord. So it's not less than doing the restful thing, but it's when that rest turns into something beautiful and it turns into like praise that you can't help. You didn't decide, like, I'm going to sit and sing a worship song about how great hot tubs are and how cool the stars are. You just did the thing, and it turned in, we don't have songs about that, sorry. You did the thing, and it just, you couldn't help, it turned into praise. Maybe it's praise that just you, like, you didn't even verbalize out loud or in your mind, but it just, like, it happened in your gut. And that is kind of what we're after, is restful activities that bring us to moments of delight in the Lord.
Yeah, for you, maybe that gateway to delight is just going on a long run. That does not sound fun to me, maybe to some of you, but to others, it might just be a walk in a beautiful park, or baking something, or reading a novel with no like guilt feeling of like, I should get up and do something. That's the worst. But just the gift of the freedom to enjoy doing what brings you life. Maybe you want to work in your garden with just no schedule and no hurry, just to enjoy it. Again, for some, that would feel like work. For others, that would feel like delight. Maybe you go for a bike ride, or you decide to go to a great restaurant and enjoy a meal with your family or your friends because you don't want to cook or do dishes. Maybe you go on a family outing to a park, and rather than like checking your phone, maybe if you're a parent and that's kind of normal to you, maybe you just figure out like, how can I play with my kids? Maybe you go to a children's museum. If you're married, make time to enjoy each other, if you know what I mean. If you have kids, put on a movie and tell them mom and dad are going to take a rest. And as far as they know, you are tired, so you're not lying, and they'll be fine, and you'll be great. Lastly, carve out some time to be with the Lord. This, I would say, is one area that we are for sure working on, which maybe is kind of weird when I think about it. Like, why are we not spending devoted time with the Lord on the Sabbath? It's just kind of maybe our next step in our journey. And I think for us, we're going to have to be pretty strategic and intentional. And maybe it looks like me hanging out with the kids for an hour, hour and a half, so Michael can go get away with the Lord, and vice versa, so that I can do the same. We're going to kind of have to give one another that gift, unless we want to get up super early, which at this very stage in our life, we don't. Someday we will. So anyways, those are just some ideas. What did you say?
I just said there's probably not going to be a stage in my life where I get up early.
I might. Anyways, okay, moving on.
Okay, stop. I might get old, and then some people, old people just wake up early. We'll see.
You probably will.
Yeah. Did I just say I might
get old? I was just
going to
say old people raise your hands to wake up early. I never mind.
Okay.
I won't make you do that. That's, never mind. Let's move on.
Sounds good. Stop, rest, delight. And then the fourth one is the concept of keeping it holy. So that phrase is repeated in Genesis, Exodus, and Deuteronomy. And the idea is not that you try to make the Sabbath day like morally pure or good. That is kind of one aspect of what holy means. But the idea here, I think, is more that it is a separate, unique, and other day than the other days of your week. And so that's the concept, is we want to keep the Sabbath separate. Totally separate and different. And so there's a couple of thoughts on how you might be able to do this. One is to kind of start some rituals with, like if you practice Sabbath with your family or with some friends or by yourself, you could decide to light some candles. You could, when you like start your Sabbath meal, if you start with a meal, you could start with a special like Sabbath prayer. You could start by going out to dinner or playing a game or eating dessert before you eat dinner. We alternate between starting Friday at sundown or starting Saturday morning, kind of depending on the week. When we start in the evening, we try to start by lighting these two candles, which I think goes back to some ancient Jewish tradition. I can't prove that. But where one candle is about rest and symbolizes rest, and the other celebration or delight. When we start in the morning, we almost always go out and buy donuts. Usually I'll take Nora. Our kids know that Sabbath is donut day. And again, this kind of stems from this, what I think is a legitimate Jewish tradition, where fathers would give their kids a spoonful of honey on the Sabbath to kind of train them that the Sabbath is a sweet, like special, awesome day. And there's this pastor in the Portland area. His name is A.J. Swoboda. He wrote a book called Subversive Sabbath. It's very, very good. And this is where I first learned about this. He would make pancakes for his kids every morning and smother them in syrup because he wanted his kids to have this like Pavlovian response. When they know that Sabbath is coming, they just like salivate and they're so excited for that day. And so that's what we are trying to do with our kids. And so if you ask Nora, you have my permission to ask her like, hey, what do you get to eat on the Sabbath? And she'll say donuts, and she gets really excited about it. So that's one of the other things. If you have kids, whether they're little or older, bring them in on the conversation. Don't just tell them like, hey, we're going to do something different today. Tell them today is the Sabbath and we're going to start doing this. Mom and dad aren't going to work. We're not going to do this. We're just going to be together. And if they're younger, do it in simple terms. Like you could ask Nora, what is Sabbath? And she would be able to tell you, we don't work, we don't do chores, and we rest. She knows those very three simple things about it. And we're excited for what that's going to do in her.
Yeah, I I think she helps remind us that the anticipation is good, because if we ask her, like, you know, she's starting to learn the days of the week. So she's like, okay, and then it's Friday. And then, and she'll say, it's the Sabbath. And she gets really excited. Or if we wake her up that morning, that's, well, she wakes up us. We don't wake her up. That's what she says. She just says it really excited. Jack likes the Sabbath too. He's just a little bit too young. He doesn't care as much, but I promise you he loves it. He loves donuts. The other part of keeping it holy that is really valuable is have it be a time or a day where your phones are away or off. Again, not the poster children for this. Definitely an area that we're trying to grow in. But like I mentioned earlier, when you notice what is kind of pulling on you on that Sabbath, having your phone away for a time or a day is pretty revealing, at least for me. I find that if I keep it on or keep it with me while we're practicing Sabbath, I'm just super tempted. I'm tempted to check on things for work. I'm tempted to scroll Instagram. I'm tempted to shop online. Just do all the things which just end up being distracting and not ultimately restful or life-giving. And so yesterday, I just turned it off for the whole day and kept it in my room. I told my mom ahead of time, in case she tried to reach me, that it was just going to be off. And it was really good for me because I just needed to remove that temptation. And I think we'll say this, we'll kind of finish up with the miscellaneous stuff in a minute, but part of this keep it holy is to be consistent. Like whatever day you choose of the week, even if you can't start with a whole day, whatever hours they are, maybe it's like 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Sundays or something. And maybe Valley is part of your Sabbath. That would be a great thing to include on the Sabbath. Whatever those are, like stick to it. Protect it. Don't let other things get in the way of it. Like put it on your calendar if you need to. But be consistent and do it. Even if it's just a few hours to start with on a random day of the week, protect it and guard it and keep it special. Still me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Into the few miscellaneous details. I will say Sabbath requires some preparation. Turns out, most of us don't typically get to any given day of the week and just think, I have nothing that I can think of to do, nothing I need to do. You know what I should do? I should just delight in this whole day. That's not typically how our weeks go. Most days we can think of something we need to do or that's going to be on the calendar. So usually stopping for one day means you have to be pretty darn intentional with the other six, is what we found. So we typically have like a Sabbath prep day. Fridays are our Sabbath prep day. That's when we try to do like grocery shopping. Maybe we need to have a conversation about the budget or do yard work, or just whatever else, like respond to emails, respond to some text messages. Do what you need to do so that you can stop. So I guess think about what would you want to have in place to enjoy your Sabbath. If you want to wake up and have bacon in the morning, maybe you need to go get bacon the night before. Or you want to,
I want to wake up to the smell of crackling bacon. Sue me.
It's an office reference for anyone who doesn't know. I lost my train of thought. Bacon. Anyways, if you want to cook a good meal for your friends, maybe you buy all the ingredients the night before so that you don't have to do the store that day. Maybe for some of you it means you do extra homework on a certain day so that you can pause from it on another day. Whatever you need to do to be able to enjoy that time, plan to prepare for it.
Next miscellaneous thought. Do not give up after one Sabbath or two or even like 10 or 12. It's going to take some time for you to learn how to stop, like how to physically stop doing your work, and then how to maybe like slow down mentally, like in your soul, and then to learn what helps you rest. It's just a journey, like a multiple year journey for us where we feel like we're scratching the surface of what actually helps us slow down and helps us rest and helps us delight. So I don't say that to discourage you, like, hey, it's going to take a long time for you to enjoy this. It could be amazing if you try it this week, but just give it some time. Don't give up after doing just a few. The next thing is that Sabbath is just going to look different depending on who you are and what stage of life you're in. If you're single, it'll be different than if you're empty nesters or if you're newly married or if you don't have kids or if you do have kids or if you have family kids that are in middle and high school or if you're a college student. I feel like that is just probably one of the hardest seasons to Sabbath in, especially if you have like multiple jobs and you're just kind of balancing lots of different things and your schedule can change. We get that. It's difficult. And so roll with it as your seasons change.
Yeah, I guess there's just a ton of freedom in it. I hope that's one of the biggest takeaways for you guys tonight, is that there's just so much freedom to figure out what it looks like for you right now in your life, and it might change. It probably will change in another season. Even like what you do on that day. I mean, we still pick up toys in the house, like on our Sabbath, typically at like nap time and bedtime, just to kind of start fresh each like segment of the day. Some people might choose not to pick up toys. I've heard of some people eating with like paper plates on the Sabbath because they don't want there to be any dishes. We typically leave ours like piled up on one side of the sink, or we load the dishwasher if we want. There's no hard and fast rules, which again is going to be really frustrating for some of you. It has been for me. Even things like, okay, well, can I go to birthday parties? Can I go to a bridal shower on the Sabbath? Should I go to a baby shower on the Sabbath? Again, there's no rules. So for me, sometimes I'll get invited to something on a Saturday and I'll go. It sounds fun. I want to spend time with the people who are there. We agree. That's a good thing for me to do. There's other times where I don't really want to go. And so you can play the Sabbath card and you don't have to. And now I feel like if anyone invites me to something on a Saturday, I have to go. Otherwise, you'll think that I think that it doesn't sound fun. Even like, for example, the conversations that we have. Yesterday, there was things we each wanted to talk about that we had to agree. That's not going to be enjoyable for the other person. I wanted to like make a plan for our garden in the summer. And I said, let's talk about it another day, because I know that's not going to be life-giving for you. And he wanted to talk about like our eating and meal plan as a family. And I was like, not today. That didn't feel life-giving for me, but it did for him. So we just kind of both said, let's table those conversations and have them another day. So you might need to consider doing that if you have a spouse who needs different things than you on the Sabbath. Moral of the story, don't knock it till you try it. We've had plenty of conversations with friends about the idea of Sabbath, you know, when we're sitting across a living room or a table with friends who are just busy and they're tired, and I think initially most of us are very hesitant about Sabbath. Maybe it's easy to think, must be nice, or sounds good in theory, but let me show you my schedule or let me show you my calendar. And we were there. And I would say, just start where you are. Don't try to like do something so grandiose immediately. Just start where you are with what you have, but carve out some time in your week. If you have a day, carve out a day. If you have some hours, carve out some hours. Some Sabbath, in our opinion, is better than no Sabbath. There's like that really cheesy inspirational quote that says, shoot for the moon and you'll land among the stars. I think with Sabbath, if you shoot for the moon, you might get discouraged. That doesn't have the same ring to it, but I think if you try and just approach it like super idealistically and like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to wake up. It's going to be so magical. Again, that might happen, but if it doesn't, it's just easy to get disillusioned fast. And so even if your very first try at Sabbath feels different, feels a little foreign, feels a little unnatural, or maybe uncomfortable, don't be surprised. And it's for sure countercultural. This is not something that like the world is, you know, pulling us to do, and we're like, oh my gosh, I hate that the world is trying to convince us to Sabbath. No one is having that conversation. Who else besides the people of the kingdom of God are given this invitation, this gift to just take a weekly pause on everything? Can you imagine if everyone did that? I just wonder if there's more people that might want to follow Jesus if they knew that we were some of the most like rested, filled, non-anxious presence, like people that they could be around. And when they ask why, just to say like, we go hard 6 days and then for one day we just don't. And it's the best. I think I would want to be a part of that if I was on the outside looking in. And so for us, we get to be the people who just at some point say, enough is enough. God's good. He takes care of me, and so I can rest.
The last thing that we want to say is just that this spiritual practice and all the other ones that we want to do are best learned and developed in community. So that's kind of one of the most important things that I'm processing this today is We want you to learn to do this in a, within a church family, and not just this one, but the church, little mini church families we have in our Valley Church communities. And so that's what those groups are set up to do, is to spend time talking about these spiritual disciplines. And so if you've been a part of one, that's what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. And even though this Sabbath series ends tonight, we're going to keep talking about this practice of Sabbath over the next few weeks. And so it's your chance to tell, like, face-to-face, like, not to me, but to your community, what you're thinking about the Sabbath. If you're, like, hesitant, not sure how it's going to work, talk about that and process that with your group. If you tried Sabbath last week and it was terrible, talk about that with your group. If it was amazing, tell them that, and you guys can praise the Lord together. But we want you to do these things in and as a family. Maybe your community will Sabbath together, like your schedules just like miraculously align and you can just be together for part of the Sabbath. But the point is that we would develop these things in the context of a church family or a community.